Ishmael, would you come forward? I believe you have something to share. Ishmael is definitely not from these parts. In fact, I think he's poorly dressed for the rain. But he does look dressed for the heat. Salam.
Salam beek.
Welcome.
Shukran. Bismil Shaddai, Illa Ibrahim, Illa Ishaq, wa Illa Yaqub. In the name of El Shaddai, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. My name, Ismail, son of Jatur, son of Ishmael. I am a time traveler from another land, from long ago, sent to tell you a story, the story of El Shaddai. A story of El Shaddai that he allowed me to be a part of. You have all these strange things like photographs. I don't understand them. But I must show you some of where I come from. The desert is where I grew up. The land of the east. These are our pets, as you call them. Animals you have in your home. Yes? In my day, this thing had a nose. I don't know what happened. I've heard funny stories about how this nose fell off. But I was there, gold-capped. They were much more beautiful then, these pyramids. Yes, the land of Goshen. The land of Goshen in Egypt. When I was young, my family, merchants, sheep herders, goat herders, traders, well, they didn't get along. The bigger clan, that is. One day, cousins came on a raid, killing my family, taking me captive. I was chained, led in a line of slaves to be sold. We were on our way to this land of Egypt when we stopped, and there was a group of men selling a young man. We learned that they were brothers selling their own brother. Some guy named Judah, I believe, seemed to be in charge. I began to listen more carefully as I heard this young man plea for them to reconsider. And then I heard their spiteful words. Dreamer, they called him. You rule over us? They were very angry. Spiteful words. I saw them rip his colorful coat off of his body before the slave traders chained him next to me. So I was there. It seemed to me another indication that we humans are all alike. My family, my clan, we couldn't get along. Yusuf's was no different. And his God, he called out to his God did nothing for him. Like this God that I'd heard about, distant, uninvolved, uncaring, indifferent. So you see, at that time, I did not worship El Shaddai. But what I saw along the route to Egypt, and the days following our sail to a great man of Egypt, Potiphar, it changed everything for me. These experiences with Yusuf, about this God I thought was distant, unknowable, unconcerned, I quickly saw that Yusuf, he had this hidden source of strength. He accepted the adversity that I chafed against and fought against and cursed bitterly until I broke out in rage and ended up in Potiphar's prison, angry. And to make matters worse, I heard of Yusuf's rise to the position of Potiphar's household manager. I seethed with jealousy, but deep down I wondered, how did this man succeed where I had so miserably failed? But I had no chance to talk with him until, to my great surprise, one day there comes Yusuf, thrown into the pit with me and the others. Now I had my chance to talk. I heard about the accusations from Potiphar's seductive wife. Yusuf felt the betrayal again. And again, I was surprised to learn that he attributed this success, this amazing rise through the ranks, he attributed it to El Shaddai, this God of his. He told me that's the name that his grandfather and his father taught him. El Shaddai. I'd heard about El, God. But to know him like this man? He told me about his early arrogance, about those dreams for which his brothers hated him so much. He told me about the origin of his special coat and how that too provoked his brothers to hate him all the more. But I knew he and I, we didn't deserve such brutal treatment. Yet he talked about his fall from his princely position to that of a slave and then a prisoner. How it had changed him. He talked more about this El Shaddai, God Almighty. And I began to watch him live his life with integrity. How he reacted to mistreatment. His uprightness, his sense of fairness and justice, and his meditation, his prayers. And despite all that happened in that prison, he continued to trust El Shaddai. Could Yusuf have known that these dreams that he'd had, that he attributed also to El Shaddai, that they would be his source of hope and strength to carry him? I don't know. Yusuf taught me, so I learned. He taught me to meditate, to pray, to live like him, honesty, humility, and dependency on El Shaddai. Again, the favor of El Shaddai, he said, was on him. He became the person in charge of the whole prison. And me, right beside him. And when the cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, when they showed up and they had these dreams, strange dreams, there was Yusuf, ready with wisdom from El Shaddai to give them the meaning. Later I learned that the cupbearer was put back into his office beside Pharaoh. And the baker was hung, executed. I bowed. bowed in worship. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. But I cried out, save us. If you are this El Shaddai, save us. 2 years later, El Shaddai answered for Yusuf. The cupbearer one day suddenly remembered this Yusuf in prison because Pharaoh had had a dream. Two dreams on the same night, in fact. And the cupbearer remembered how troubled he'd been over his own dream in that prison. And he saw that same perplexed look in the eyes of Pharaoh. He remembered Yusuf. Soon Yusuf was there before the Pharaoh, giving an interpretation, but not only an interpretation, wise counsel for the nation. The strategy to save the nation from an awful famine that God was clearly sending. Yusuf showed Pharaoh how God was giving him time to act to save many lives. And immediately Pharaoh appointed him to be like the ruler over the whole country. Since Yusuf rose to such a position of power, he needed men he could trust on his staff to prepare for the huge famine to come. To my surprise, one day I found myself in his office. He was appointing me to be his right-hand man, the steward to the man El Shaddai had chosen to save, not just Egypt, not just the nation, but also the nation he was forming, a nation called Israel. Israel, I think you say it that way, yes. Many neighbors, too. Many other neighbors were saved by this amazing plan of God. After 7 years, it happened just like El Shaddai revealed to Pharaoh. The famine came. Nothing could grow. And the people of the nation and the neighbors began to ask for help. Well, El Shaddai gave such wisdom to Yusuf, such insight. We did not question him when he accused these 10 men that came, that they had come to spy on Egypt. These men were strangely familiar to me, but I could not remember. It had been years since I had been brought to Egypt. Many years had passed. I could not remember. But the events had followed. His prison time for these 10 men. Yusuf's questions about their father and another brother they claimed to have. Very strange. And they returned home, 9 of them, with their money. Yusuf said, put the money back. Very strange. Who were these men? I kept asking myself. After further strange events and stranger behavior by Yusuf, I finally learned who the men were. His brothers. The brothers that sold him. Yusuf had been testing them to see who they really were. Had they changed? And during that series of events, his brother Judah proved to him that they had changed. And I was again so amazed because I witnessed the fulfillment of one of the dreams that Yusuf had as a young man when his brothers bowed in his presence. They were so afraid and so shocked when they understood finally who had been giving them such a hard time and who had been giving them grain and showing concern for their father. I will never forget Yusuf's words to his brothers as they stood there in stunned silence at the revelation that Yusuf, their brother, was second in command of all Egypt. This powerful man said to the very ones that sold him into years of misery, he said, "Now don't be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For El Shaddai sent me before you to preserve life. El Shaddai sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but El Shaddai." He then sent me with his brothers to collect his father, my great uncle, Jacob. All the way there, the truth of Yusuf forgiving these men, these brothers, would eat away at my insides. I tossed and I turned, I could not sleep. Can I forgive like that? The men that killed my family, kidnapped me, sold me to traitors? Then one morning, on our way back to Egypt, I heard that El Shaddai had spoken to Jacob. El Shaddai had given him a special promise that he would be with him in Egypt. And then, oh, what a reunion for Yusuf and Jacob. Years later, I was there as Yusuf went to his father who was dying. Jacob, Uncle Jacob was sitting up, pronouncing words of blessing and warning for each son. Oh, such words! How I longed for words like that for me. Once upon the return from Canaan and burying Uncle Jacob, Yusuf's brothers arranged an appointment with him, sending him a message begging for his forgiveness in the name of their father. And his brothers came, prostrated themselves before him and said, "Here, we are your slaves." But Yusuf said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You meant to do me harm, but God meant it for good, so that it would come about as it is today, with many people's lives being saved. So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." In this way he comforted them, speaking kindly to them. Oh, the power of forgiveness. It seems so foreign in the world. El Shaddai is indeed trustworthy. But I believe it was only after Yusuf saw the plan of God in hindsight that he could truly say those words to his brothers. He'd had to trust El Shaddai despite all signs looking like he had been abandoned into slavery in prison, the dreams of his youth looking nothing more than pizza dreams. Like Job, Yusuf could say to El Shaddai, "I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted."